you in the 06010.
Welcome to Fantasy Focus. You can watch us every weekday at 11 a.m. Eastern. I'm on ESPN's Twitter, Facebook, and YouTube feeds, as well as the ESPN app. One app, one tap. And if you're listening to the audio feed, today's podcast is presented by Geico. You can download Fantasy Focus wherever you get your podcast. And with that, we say hello and happy Friday. Stefania Bell, Field Yates, Daniel Dopp. What's going on, Stefania? How are you?
Thank goodness it's Friday.
How come? Long week?
Yeah.
Because every Friday we say
Well, it's night. This is kind of, we're running out of weekends here before we are like officially back on Sundays.
It's crazy. Like we literally have two Sundays left before 18 straight weeks of Fantasy Football Now, 10 a.m. Eastern time on ESPN2, the usual crew with Matt Harrington, a producer on this show, also holding down the fort on Fantasy Football Now. We cannot wait for that. Today, we're going to go through some news as we have another starting quarterback named. We're going to do a double trouble, finishing up the AFC West. We'll talk about both the Raiders and the Justin Herbert-led Chargers. But we start in New Orleans, as Adam Schefter confirmed this morning, or announced, reported this morning, that the Saints have named Jameis Winston their week one starting quarterback. This comes after a performance in which Winston finished 9 for 10 for 123 yards and two touchdowns on Monday night. Stefania, how would you describe your reaction when you saw this news initially from Schefter?
I wasn't surprised. Yeah. I think Monday night was the time that we all sort of saw this Jameis and said, well, the decision is made. Our Monday night crew calling the game, we're talking about it. They certainly seemed pretty emphatic that Jameis was going to get the job. And he looked good, I thought. I think Marquez Callaway made him look better because he made two spectacular catches. So he got really excited about the big plays. But I think he looked good.
I think he did look good as well. And so I think this story has some news as it pertains to Jameis' fantasy value, because I don't want to be entirely dismissive of the idea of Jameis Winston eventually becoming a starting quarterback in fantasy. He is the starting quarterback in New Orleans. But I don't have him ranked inside my top 20, despite this news, because the days of Jameis Winston throwing for 5,000 yards are not a guarantee to be behind him, but you have to think about the circumstances in Tampa that led to those 5,000-yard seasons. Mike Evans, Chris Godwin, O.J. Howard, Cam Brate's a good player. You know, they've had Adam Humphries was there at the time. They had a really good group of pass catchers there. It's a much different group of pass catchers in New Orleans, especially without Michael Thomas for some period of time. And most importantly, the defense in Tampa has gotten great. It was not as great then as it is now, and is not as good as I believe the Saints' defense is right now. And I think part of what the Saints have spent the last year and a half or so doing with Jameis Winston is working as much as you can possibly work on a player's ability to not turn the football over. Because sometimes Jameis's best friend was also his own worst enemy, right? Like, it was terrible that he was constantly putting himself or his team down 14 points. It was great because he threw for 5,000 yards and 30-plus touchdowns.
Well, I think a couple of things. When you're turning the ball over that much, it almost doesn't matter how good your defense is because they're just exhausted by being on the field all the time. And so I think they got worn down, and that was a problem for him. I do think it's worth noting that he underwent the LASIK surgery when he was in that free agency period after Tampa Bay, and he was looking for teams to, you know, where he was going to end up. And I don't know if that's a thing, but it was done to correct a nearsightedness and astigmatism. As someone who's nearsighted, I can definitely say if there were players down the field, I wouldn't be able to read their jersey numbers. I don't know how bad it was for him. Was it part of the problem? Maybe. We'll see. But consistency has never been Jameis's strength. And I think the sample size is still small. So as the season unfolds, we'll find out if this is really somebody who's a better decision maker. Maybe he's seeing the field better. And will the receivers support him in what he needs to do to get the ball down the field?
I think, and let me get to Daniel before I finish this thought on the pass catcher. But Daniel, what do you got?
I was going to say, with this, we still believe Taysom Hill's going to have a package and roles within this offense, right?
Yeah, that seems to be consistent. And part of the reporting from Schefter is that, like, you expect that Taysom Hill now takes over the Taysom Hill role from previous years, right? Because as we are recording this podcast, the Saints have injuries to multiple tight ends, Adam Trautman and Nick Vannett amongst them, separate and apart from the fact that the Saints love Taysom Hill. And he's super effective even if it drives us crazy, he does do some things that are unique and different and special on the field for them. So he's not going to evaporate. He's still a quarterback in our game. But I think the big winner from this move of naming Jameis Winston the starting quarterback are the pass catchers in New mm-hmm. Orleans. And it depends on your level of interest in those players. But when Michael Thomas eventually returns, I know that he had in four games last year a good sample size. I mean, it was really strong. I think he had 23 catches in the four games that Taysom Hill was a starter last year. The ceiling is just higher with Jameis as your quarterback as a receiver. It simply is. And while Marcus Callaway has flashed well, I've said a couple times, like, it's just hard to sort of jam them too far up your wide receiver rankings because there are so many of them. But if someone's taking a pick on Marquez Callaway now or has already used a draft pick on Marquez Callaway, they feel better about this than they would have if Jameis Winston was the starter. I will say that, like we talked about yesterday with Denver, while Jameis's grasp on this starting job is definitely firmer than I believe Teddy Bridgewater's is, and maybe eventually Andy Dalton's or Jimmy Garoppolo or Cam Newton's grasp will be, like, still wouldn't stun me if at some point Taysom Hill is the starting quarterback. If Jameis has bad games early, Taysom's back in.
And he certainly worked at the quarterback position in the time that he's had between last year and this year, Taysom Hill has. One thing I think is interesting is if he's going to be plugged back into this other role that he had, he lost weight. You know, he came in to be more of a quarterback-ready player for the Saints this year. And I just wonder if he's going to be, you know, he was kind of a bulldozer for a smaller guy in all these different plays that they would use him in when they got in the red zone, some of these gadget plays. Is he going to be able to do the same things? We'll
see.
It'd
be great to have to put on weight for the next, like, 2 weeks. It'd be awesome.
Wow.
Jameis Winston, also good news for Alvin Kamara. Not that we ever were going to fade Alvin Kamara, but as we know, last year with Taysom Hill as the quarterback, less passing game usage for Kamara. So a good day all around for the pass catchers in New Orleans. All right, we're going to talk about a couple of teams in double trouble in just a minute. But before we do that, Daniel, we've got some news, if I can find the right piece of paper. It's actually right here in front of me.
Yeah, we do.
You know what it is?
What?
Join me and my friends. Okay. Daniel's one of them. Mike Clay is one of them for a virtual live mailbag podcast. That's right. It's going to be a recording. Well, we'll answer your Q&A questions, which I think is probably redundant for me to say. Your questions, and then we'll answer them. Save the date for next Wednesday, September 1st, 6 p.m. Eastern time, and we're going to hop on a Zoom for a virtual live event presented by our friends at Geico and Body Armor and NFL Sunday Ticket. They help make this podcast possible.
Yeah, registration is required and space is limited, but the event is totally free, and we'll spend the entire time answering your Q&A questions. You'll submit those when you register.
Register today at bit.ly/fantasyfocus91. That's all lowercase, bit.ly/fantasyfocus, and then the number 91.
A reminder, that is Wednesday, September 1st at 6 p.m. Eastern, a virtual live mailbag show with me, Mike Clay, and Field Yates, presented by Geico, Body Armor, and NFL Sunday Ticket.
All right, we're going to get to. So great. Look forward to that. It's always fun. I know that we have really loved our live shows on the road, but just due to where things are right now with the pandemic still, we are going to start with a virtual live show, and we'll reassess live shows on the road at a future date. Before we get to our double trouble, Daniel, I noticed that from the time that we started the podcast, right now you have quite literally let your hair down and taken your jacket off.
I did. Well, today's Fun Shirt Friday, right? So yes, I decided to wear the shirt of the first time that I beat Matthew Berry in fantasy football. The score was 144.5 to 119.7.
That is so good.
Is that right?
That's what this shirt is. So it's my Fun Shirt Friday. I beat Matthew. What's up, buddy?
Oh, my God. Before the show, when I saw you wearing that, I tried to subtract 119.7 from 144.5 to see if it added up to a significant number.
Nope.
Well, Daniel's always got these, like, cool sayings, T-shirts, or the meanings and things. And so I was like, I know there's something there, and I can't figure it out. I'm just going to let him explain.
That is so good.
That's so good.
First time ever.
You should have some slogan on the back.
Let me guess. So you were playing against Matthew, and you got, like, incredibly fortunate on that day to be starting, like, Travis Kelce and Devontae Adams, and you decided to roll with it and decided to roll the dice and start Dalvin Cook that day. Is that what happened?
That's exactly what happened. And Matthew, it wasn't just that, though. Matthew had, like, three guys that were hurt. Right. The offensive schemes didn't go the right way. People didn't get the ball when they should have.
Right. He played Peyton Manning out of respect on his birthday, even though he's retired already.
Please. Yeah.
It's crazy.
Penalty. Yeah, exactly.
So I didn't want to rub it in. I figured just having the score is, like, I don't need to say anymore.
Did you make that for yourself, or did someone make it for you?
DJ Gallo and Ed Hadak made it for me for the fantasy show. So shout out to those two.
That
I'm
is
surprised
so
Matthew
great.
Hasn't sewn an asterisk on it for you. Like, yeah. Come on.
Did he even know what it was when you wore it there?
No, the first time? No.
So did you explain it to him?
I did.
This is the
I did.
Score of when
this
I beat
is the
you.
First time yeah. I beat you in fantasy.
Stefania, who's Finnerty's?
Oh, Finnerty. So this is I'm paying homage to Finnerty's. Was the San Francisco sports bar in New York City.
Yeah.
In fact, on the back of the shirt, it says repping the 415 and the 212.
Oh, nice.
It's just, you know, the San Francisco Bay Area area code. And they would have Giants games, 49er games, Sharks games, Warriors games on at all times. They had Golden Gate Bridge. You could ring the bell. I mean, the foghorn would sound when you got home runs or touchdowns. I watched Monday Night Football there on the regular. They were friends of the podcast. Unfortunately, due to the pandemic, Finnerty's is no longer.
Aww.
So, but still thinking of our good friends there. And it was the closest I could get to going home, watch a game. And you know how it happened? I discovered them. I was in New York to run an errand and I had some free time and I wanted to catch a Giants game. And I just asked Twitter, where is a good place where I'm going to be able to see the Giants game. And everybody was like, you got to go to Finnerty's. And when I walked in, it felt like I was home.
Aww,
it was
so
great.
Amazing.
So I'm sad that Aww. They're not there.
I also love that, like, of all the people on the show, the only person of us who would actually have the need to go to New York to run an errand is Stefania.
Yeah.
Like, Daniel and I go to, like, you know, like, you know, like Simsbury,
necessary.
You know, like
Simsbury,
we
ran
all the way to the CVS, you know, in East Hartford.
That's exactly what I do. I go to
the
CVS in East Hartford.
Really good there.
Feel that like your shirt too. I mean, it's you know, it's like a B version of
pop over, you know, Hawaiian shirt.
Yeah, but your shoes match. I think people
that's
need to see that.
Yeah,
I
they
mean,
do. I gotta bring it. If you're watching a live stream, shout out. All right, let's talk about the Raiders in just a moment. But first, we can hopefully play the drop for double trouble. Nice.
Double trouble. As of this moment, they're on double secret probation.
Wrapping up the AFC West, and we start in Las Vegas. Got to say, really Ooh. Excited for fans to be in Allegiant Stadium for a regular season game.
I was in Vegas this summer and drove by it. So I had been out there working on something related to UFC stuff while it was being built. But then I was out there, and now it's ready.
Yeah.
And it looks like people call it the Roomba.
The Roomba. It is hilarious.
it
is
looks
amazing.
Like that when you drive
Fly,
by.
Yeah.
But apparently, it's just amazing on the inside. I talked to some people who'd been in it. It's phenomenal.
Yeah, they've had a few events there. Obviously, a preseason game. They had SummerSlam there recently for WWE. So they've had some events, but obviously the intent of the stadium was to home the Raiders. So I cannot wait to see fans there. Raiders fans, obviously, as passionate as they come. Let's start with their quarterback, Derek Carr. And, you know, I was just thinking about Derek Carr earlier today, and I feel like, you know, we often say that fantasy success does not always equate to real life success and vice versa. And yet, Derek Carr is an example of where he kind of fits the same category in both fantasy and real football. The best of Derek Carr can be really darn good. As a matter of fact, he had 9 games with 275 passing yards last year. That was 6th in the NFL. He had 8 games with at least 20 fantasy points. And I always say that, like, if you're a quarterback, my expectation is 20. Like, I consider 20 or above a good week. Below 20, I wish I could get more out of that position. All right, so 8 games at that number or above it. That's pretty good. But that also means 8 games where it was below that. Whereas in the NFL, like, if you had to draw a line of, like, average for quarterbacks, I think Derek Carr's above the average line, but not like I think he's still going like somewhere between like 14th and 20th. And if you're doing a quarterback draft right now, so he fits in fantasy and reality. And along those lines, Stefania, I don't think we're gonna be drafting him as a starter, but what I do think, and I think Kyle sort of laid this out wisely, is that like Derek Carr's kind of that, like, keep him on your bye week radar.
Yeah,
he probably is. And you know, there's gonna be quarterback bye weeks, you know, throughout the season, obviously. But later in the year, when we're getting closer to the playoffs, including in the playoffs, you've got teams on a bye in weeks 11, 12, or 14 that include the likes of Matthew Stafford, Kyler Murray, Patrick Mahomes, Jalen Hurts. We got a lot of teams with late season byes. So keep Derek Carr in mind for your late season byes. I don't know that a star season is coming, but I also think this is an underappreciated player on the whole.
Yeah, so I had written down my notes to myself were boom or bust, because I sort of think that's how I view Derek Carr in terms of fantasy purposes. And But last year, it did feel like he cut it loose a little bit. Like, we saw more downfield throws from Derek Carr. We'd seen a lot of the choppy dink and dunk Derek Carr, and I felt like we saw more of those downfield throws. I think that he has this great relationship with Waller. You know, that's probably his best receiver, really, at this point. But I think I'd want to look at the matchups for Derek Carr. So, you know, in their division, he's going to have to play the Broncos a couple of times. That defense is terrifying.
Sure.
Especially if you're Derek Carr. And I would not want him in those weeks. But he's one where I would look carefully at the matchups, because I think you might be able to pick out a couple of weeks if you need to stream a quarterback or a bye replacement that he might be good. And then other weeks where you definitely want to avoid him.
Keep him in mind for your bye weeks. Let's get to the running backs, though, because this is an interesting one. So Josh Jacobs last year finished as RB12, 15.4 fantasy points per game. This year, Mike Clay has him projected for over 1,300 total yards and 10 total touchdowns. I've got him at RB21. Daniel has him at RB21. Matthew has him at RB24. His ADP is actually RB19 right now. That's a fifth round between Carson and J.K. Dobbins. So earlier this offseason, myself included, like, there are a lot of people that thought, like, you know what? I'm a little concerned about Josh Jacobs. A few reasons why, Stefania. Notably, they signed from Arizona Kenyon Drake. They gave him a good contract, too. It was like 2 years and $14 million. That's not, hey, it's the end of free agency. He's still available. We're getting him on the, you know, off the scrap heap. This is a real contract. Second of all, the Raiders, as we know, remade their offensive line this offseason. They traded away Trent Brown, who missed a good amount of time last year, as we know. They were intending to cut, and they traded their center, Rodney Hudson, a longtime Pro Bowl-level player. They also traded away Gabe Jackson, longtime right guard for them, to the Seattle Seahawks. The point is that this offensive line has a 60% new faces rate. That being said, a couple things have changed for me. Is the one, I thought about the Kenyon Drake signing more and more, and I truly believe teams talk about, like, involving a running back in the passing game a lot. I do think he could be a sort of like this satellite player for the Raiders. And second of all, they like their offensive line almost as much this year as they did last year. The Raiders don't view this as a downgrade in terms of overall offensive line play compared to where they were last year. So I'm not as concerned about the offensive line, and I'm not as concerned about Kenyon Drake. So even though his ADP is 19th and I have an RB21, I don't think people are overpaying right now for Josh Jacobs. Do you?
No, but I also feel like he is one of the hardest running backs to assess in terms of value for me when it comes to fantasy. Because he's not in the top tier. I sort of view him in that second tier, maybe. But there are things that give you pause. One is that he's been injured and played through it, to his credit.
Yeah.
He's one of the toughest players out there. But there is that concern about if the volume is there, if the volume stays for him and he doesn't yield a lot of volume to Kenyon Drake, will he be able to stay healthy as a running back? He led all running backs in red zone carries and tied first in goal to go carries.
Excellent.
Which is something you love for fantasy purposes. Does he yield any of that to Kenyon Drake?
Yeah, interestingly enough, and by the way, shout out to you that are drafting right now, because since we put together the note last night at RB19 for Kenyon, for his ADP, he soared all the way up to RB17. So he is surging. He is a stock. He is Dogecoin of running backs right
now. Wow.
How's Dogecoin doing these days? I don't know.
Yeah,
sorry, that's not my
crypto world. That may not be a complimentary.
I don't know. I could be very much mischaracterizing where Dogecoin is at right now. But anyways, Josh Jacobs seems to have more supporters than I would have thought. And Stefania, you're right. So the question will just be, how much work in those goal-to-go situations does he concede to Kenyon Drake? And while last year he did have some passing game usage, 9 games with 3-plus receptions. If my math was correct, he had 5 games last year with 1 or 0 catches. So he's one of those rare running backs where he may not necessarily need any passing game usage in order to be an effective player still. This backfield reminds me of discount Cleveland Browns backfield, right? He's Nick Chubb, and Kenyon Drake is Kareem Hunt. In that, and discount, not just in terms of ability, but also price, right? I mean, So I actually think that Josh Jacobs is a fairly safe return based off where he is being added right now, because if you look at other players around his ADP or rank, I think he's going to lead or be close to the lead in terms of carries of all those guys. Because you got guys like Miles Sanders right there, and talked about Chris Carson recently on the show. You've got players like Mike Davis, who, like, we're not Damian Harris as well.
J.K. Dobbins,
who Dobbins might have a...
He's the one where I think his volume may go up just because of what their situation looks like
they
right
like
now.
What they're doing there. But I think that Jacobs, like, I think he's a safe bet for... I always have to factor in the extra game now. 270 or so rushing attempts. And if you get 270 rushing attempts in an offense that I think is good enough to be in scoring situations, I think I'll end up returning value. So I'm more in on Josh Jacobs than I was earlier on in the offseason. Like, I think, like, I'm much more optimistic than I was 4 months
especially ago. If they trust you at the goal line. And I think, by and large, even though I asked that question about yielding work to Kenyon Drake, I think Josh Jacobs is more the bulldozer than Drake. So
oh, yeah.
I definitely think that he's going to be the first dibs there.
And the wrap on Kenyon Drake, who we can talk about now, is that he is much less a bulldozer and much more a satellite player, as I described him earlier. But ironically enough, last year, the two players tied for the most goal-to-goal carries in the NFL with 32, Josh Jacobs and Kenyon Drake. Now, that might be more a reflection of what he was competing with in Arizona.
Right.
Chase Edmonds specifically, who is... We discussed in the recent double trouble for the Cardinals, like, that's one of my concerns, is that, like, maybe James Conner is a finisher there. But Kenyon Drake's still an effective player, Stefania. He was RB23 last year, 12.8 fantasy points per game. So I truly believe that the Raiders signed him with the intent to make him, like, a big part of their passing game consistently. There will be carries as well, but I think Jon Gruden is enamored by the ability to throw him the football in space. I've got him at RB35. Daniel has him at RB36. His ADP is RB33. Might be a little aggressive for me, but if you look at the players that are being drafted around him, one difference that you see with him vis-a-vis guys like Zach Moss, maybe even Melvin Gordon, A.J. Dillon, is I think that if you look at the players that are around Kenyon Drake, he's got a better chance to be a really high-volume pass catcher than some of them, which can be very useful for zero RB strategy. If you're going to punt on the position early, is that you're going to end up with guys who need to catch passes. So Drake, another one of my guys that I think of when I think of zero RB targets.
Especially, we don't know what version of Derek Carr we're going to get. And if he ends up being a short to intermediate range passer frequently, then that's where Kenyon Drake, I think, has an opportunity to shine. Kenyon Drake, I feel like, got this, there was a flash when he went to Arizona, right? He wasn't really being utilized enough, or maybe to the full appreciation of what his skill set was in Miami. And he goes to Arizona and lights it up, you know, and has this great opportunity there. And then it gets fuzzy. Like, what is going to be his utilization after that? And it ends up not being a sustainable fit.
Sure.
I feel like he's still searching for that place where he can stay and be productive. And maybe it's in that 1B role. But I agree with you, with the pass catching value is higher for him than some of the others that you mentioned.
Last thing I'll say about Kenyon Drake is that, like A.J. Dillon, who's very close to him in terms of rankings, if something happens to Josh Jacobs, and you talked about he's dealt with some issues, broken shoulder amongst other things in his NFL career, immediate value for Kenyon Drake. We're talking probably certainly a top 20 back if Josh Jacobs is not on the field. Maybe top 15 if things go right. So there's some value there. Like, you're not just grabbing a player who could, especially in a deeper league, be a flex option for you, but he's insurance that if something happens to Josh Jacobs, you all of a sudden have a likely weekly starter. What do you got, Daniel?
Field, the ADP between these two guys is quite large. It's fifth round for Josh Jacobs, 12th round, obviously, like you said. Is that far enough back that if you target Josh Jacobs, you're like, you know what? Wait for the 12th round for Kenyon Drake and locking him up so I have that Raiders running back room. Is there enough volume in that potential possibility to make it worth it? Knowing that only based on ADP. Obviously, if Kenyon Drake was much higher, it wouldn't be worth it. But 12th round's pretty late in your draft.
It is pretty late. Yeah, I don't hate it. And I think it'll probably be dependent upon, like, which other sort of insurance type running backs are
available there.
Still available and maybe have already got off the board. But, like, if you're getting him around ahead of, like, I don't know, Alexander Mattison, who probably has no value, standalone value, right? Then that might be useful. It probably is maybe a little bit about how your league drafts those insurance policies.
Sure.
I'll put it this way, though. Like, I don't feel I feel much greater urgency to pair my star with his insurance policy when it's a Saquon Barkley and Devontae Booker or a Latavius Murray alongside Alvin Kamara, as an example.
If it's Latavius Murray, though.
Yeah.
That actually is one where I'm not really sure.
Tony Jones being the other name that people have seen quite a bit so far in training camp. That sounds like it could be a financial decision for the Saints. Latavius Murray is still a solid player, but we'll see whether the Saints stick around or keep him on the roster, as we are now, 4 days away from roster cutdowns. We're going to come back and talk about the wide receivers, and there are plenty in Las Vegas. But first, do you own or rent your home?
Sure you do.
Sure you do, and I bet it can be hard work. How'd you know that, Daniel? But you know what's easy? Bundling policies with Geico. Geico makes it easy to bundle your homeowner's or renter's insurance along with your auto policy. It's a good thing, too, because you already have so much to do around your home. Go to geico.com, get a quote, and see how much you could save. It's Geico easy. Visit geico.com today. That's geico.com.
Imagine a nice vacation. Is there a view of the parking lot?
No.
What about Matthew? Is Matthew there? That's just a personal question. That's not a part of the live read. Just curious if you guys vacation together. Don't book a hotel. Don't book a cheap hotel. Just book an expensive hotel for cheap on Hotwire. With hot rate deals, you can stay in a nicer hotel than you ever thought possible. Just select your city, your neighborhood, and the amenities you're looking for. Then you get your hot rate. Better views, king-size beds, and freshly pressed waffle-woven robes await you. Also, actual waffles, if that's what you're into for breakfast. Download the Hotwire app now and book beyond your wildest means. All bookings final.
You did a much better job reading that waffle-woven robe part than I have.
Dude, it is a tongue twister.
It has really stumped me.
Yeah.
Nice job, Daniel.
I appreciate it. Thanks, buddy.
So the Raiders have, I'd say, three, maybe four wide receivers that could be on the radar in fantasy. I'm not sure any of them are a guarantee, though, Stefania. Let's go through the parties involved. Henry Ruggs, first-round pick last year, the very first wide receiver off the board in the entire NFL draft, which included...
Number 12.
Yeah, historic class, eventually. John Brown, Smokey Brown, signed this offseason after being released by the Bills. Hunter Renfro, who this offseason, or this training camp, I should say, dusted Jalen Ramsey in a couple of routes, which was a highlight of training camp. And then also Bryan Edwards, third-round pick last year out of South Carolina, big physical wide receiver who was hurt going into the draft, but ended up going in the third round. They don't make too many players with a physical stature like him. Kyle can fact-check me here. I want to say at one point, and I know that John Gruden has never been afraid to throw around like lofty comparisons, but I want to say there was a time where he invoked Terrell Owens when describing Bryan Edwards physically. So just to give you a general sense of the kind of physical stature that he presents. That being said, Stefania, I don't know that you can draft more than one. Is there one that you think is most appealing to you? I have an answer. I'd be curious what yours is.
Well, last year I was really high on Henry Ruggs. I actually took him as a late flyer in a couple of drafts because I thought he had potential. He seemed to fit the Raiders scheme, right? Speed, more speed, big-time playmaker. And the way that Derek Carr was throwing the ball last year, you would have thought there was an opportunity, although those plays seemed to go more to Darren Waller than to Henry Ruggs. And so my question coming into today was, is Ruggs competing with Bryan Edwards? Who you obviously brought up, Edwards, who missed four games with an ankle and foot injury last year. But I don't really know how to value these deep receivers. I feel like I know better where to fit Hunter Renfro in than where because they offer different things to me.
Yeah, they do. I mean, I think Hunter Renfro reminds me of a player that if you play in a deep league and you're looking for a flex option, he probably has a chance to emerge in that role at some point during the season. Don't know that he has redraft value in a 10-team league, even deep into bye weeks.
He's the guy whose name escapes me right now, of course, while we're live, in Tampa Bay, who is like the outlet, middle of the field.
Scotty Miller.
Yes, Scotty Miller.
Scooter Scotty Miller.
Yeah, I kind of feel like that's Hunter Renfro, although maybe a little more consistently.
Yeah, that could be.
Field, can I ask a question?
Sure, please do.
I have Henry Ruggs.
That's me as well, good.
But I have him in that same Callaway basket where it's like, man, I've got like 5 or 6, 7 guys in this late round flyer where it's like anywhere from ranked 45 to not being ranked because I don't know how to get him into those top. Like he's in that bucket. And at that point, I'm just sort of looking at roster construction to be like, all right, which one of these guys fits my roster the best?
I almost want to hear from the listeners, whether they're in the chat right now or listening on a podcast, and just like tweet at us.
Jackson will put up a poll. Can we do a poll? Yeah. Or is it
not
a poll?
I'm not sure
question?
It's a poll question per se, but like, I know that the piece of analysis we give more than any other during the preseason is we talk about wide receivers and we describe them as late round flyers. Is that instructive, or is it just like at some point is it repetitive and redundant? Because I don't know what else to say about Henry Ruggs. So there's a chance he breaks out. And again, the first drafted wide receiver last year, an incredible speed demon, a guy who when he made catches down the field last year were wow plays. Go watch the Chiefs game in Kansas City when the Raiders beat the Chiefs. And he made like this absurd downfield catch. He's got some DeSean Jackson type qualities in his prime to his game. He is incredibly fast. He is electric with the
his
ball in
his
hands. His
highlights coming into the draft were unbelievable.
So, of course, there's a chance that he could break out and have 1,200 yards this year. The problem is I just don't know how to differentiate him versus somebody else who's also, whether it's a Jerry Jeudy in the same draft class, the same college, whether it's Marquez Callaway, who'd be the wide receiver one with Jameis Winston in New Orleans, whether it's Jalen Waddle, he drafted a year later, same school, but similar traits. Like, there are so many wide receivers this year, so many of them, that it's just going to be difficult to clearly state which needs to be ranked or drafted ahead of the others. Along those lines, I throw Henry Ruggs into my bucket. If you're a Raiders fan, if you're an Alabama fan, if you like people that are really fast, we're number 11 in the NFL. Draft Henry Ruggs.
Alabama fan might be hard because they're pretty much on every team.
That's a good point. It's a good point.
Who's your favorite Raiders fan, by the way? Do you have one?
My
favorite Raiders
anybody?
Fan?
Yeah. Anybody. Is it anybody but Jason Fitz?
I was going to say, Jason Fitz, and is Randy Scott a Raiders fan too?
Randy Scott is.
Yeah, I don't know how to pick. Randy. They're both such great guys. I don't know how to pick between the two.
It's clearly Randy.
Clearly Randy Scott.
I'm just kidding, Fitz. We love you. I love Fitzy. Jason Fitz. I love Randy Scott too. Two incredibly underrated people here.
Agreed.
At ESPN. And hilarious. And
those
Randy,
Raiders fans, they are loyal.
Yes, they are incredibly loyal.
They're loyal in the same way that fantasy managers can count on Darren Waller to be a top three tight end every single year.
You are so
you know what?
Good. You're so good at this,
so
Daniel.
So good with it.
It's my favorite story of development in the NFL. My favorite one.
Yes.
I don't think it's really a question anymore. Darren Waller, who most people know this story, but let's just rehash it one more time. This is a guy who played wide receiver in college at Georgia Tech. Unbelievable athlete. Gets drafted by the Ravens. Deals with a lot. Dealt with a lot of personal demons, has overcome so much. Recently celebrated 4 years sober. Congratulations to Darren Waller. And that's part of the story. It's a huge part of the story. It's probably the part that more people can draw inspiration from than anything he does on the football field. However, he's also come a long way as a football player too. Mm-hmm. Transformed his body, bulked up to become a tight end. And now he's unstoppable.
I think it was really cool when they had the Raiders on Hard Knocks.
Yeah.
And they followed Darren Waller closely, and he talked about a lot of this. And I think that was the time where he really didn't know. He was pretty clear about it. He didn't know if he was going to make it.
Yeah.
And, you know, during training camp, he left to go to a couple of meetings, you know, support meetings. And it was really a struggle for him. And you watch, I thought that what they showed was a really important glimpse into the struggle that it was. You know, it wasn't like it was just over because he was in football. It's something he works at every day, which I think makes what he's done at the position that much more incredible.
Mm-hmm. And if you look at the numbers last year, he had the highest of peaks in terms of a single game performance last year, 13 catches for 200 yards and 2 touchdowns against the Jets in that 31-28 win for the Raiders. So the upside is as great weekly as basically anybody. Like on a single game basis, he's right there with Travis Kelce and probably, I would think, Stefania, and this is a little bit too much recency bias, I would think most people lean towards him over George Kittle right now. And that may be unfair because Kittle has the single season record or had the single season record for most receiving yards by a tight end ever. But bottom line is this, both of those guys all three of them really are the priorities of tight end. I think Waller, by the way, in terms of like where he belongs overall, I think back end of the second round is where Darren Waller starts to make a lot of sense.
Mm-hmm.
Right around pick 20. And I've seen this, you know, it's a 10-team league, be the back end of the second round. You just start to go through the wide receivers, and there are other wide receivers who will eclipse his yardage most likely. But We talk about the difference making in tight ends, the difference that you can find in tight ends that are elite, and I just think the value starts to make a ton of sense around the back end of the second round. Love Darren Waller's story. It's just one of the great ones, I should say, in the NFL. And
good story. To your point, volume is for sure going to happen. That's not going away.
Yep.
He's still Derek Carr's preferred target.
Yep.
And until proven otherwise, and I don't know why he'd veer away from that. He gets targets in the red zone, so you know he's going to score touchdowns. I think George Kittle, to me, is the best at the yards after the catch, but he just hasn't been able to sustain it because of injury. So
and they also
Waller,
have games where they don't need him to catch passes, right?
Right.
Whereas Waller had seven games with 10-plus targets last year, six-plus targets in 14 of 16 games. He's pretty much money.
Like I said, there's nothing that tells me yet that the other wide receivers are going to cut into Darren Waller.
Totally agree on that.
Field, what's the bit.ly link for our live show? Do you remember?
bit.ly/fantasyfocus91.
Okay, Stefania, do you remember the date of it? Were you paying attention?
No, because I'm not part of it.
Well, it's on the...
I wasn't invited. I wasn't included among your friends. It's not nice to talk about a party when you're out. Okay. Yeah, it's at 6 p.m. Eastern.
On September 1st.
September 1st. No better way to bring in September than doing a live Q&A question show with me, Daniel, and Mike.
Mike.
See what I was saying?
Like, yes. Yeah,
should we turn the page to the Chargers here or no?
Yeah, let's do it.
Let's do it. And we
let's get some Bob Seger up in here.
I see.
Phil doesn't get it. Phil doesn't know who Bob Seger is.
No, I know Bob Seger.
Come on.
Living on a night move.
No, that song.
Yeah, no, Night Moves. He did a different Bob Seger song. We know where Phil's at.
I was going to say, take those old records off the
show.
That one.
Oh, but no, okay.
Turn the page.
Oh, is that a Seger song too?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
That
nice.
Is, to me, his best.
Seger is good.
My favorite.
Seeger is good. All right. I might have to listen to him on. I got a long drive ahead of me today. I will be listening to Seeger's.
Shout out to my dad. I told this story once. My dad opened for Bob Seger once a long time ago in his youth. So it's just always fun to be able to relive that. I can imagine how cool that would have been. So love you, Dad.
That must have been awesome. I love your dad, too. And your parents. Does your dad watch with your mom when she's watching?
I think he probably is there because Mom Adop makes him sit in the room while it's on.
That's great.
Moms are the best.
My Mom Adop, she's probably listening right now.
She probably is.
She's part of the live stream crew. We need a name for those that are there daily.
Because
I think we have a community of people that are there daily. Kevin Pulsifer, a great researcher for Fantasy Football Now, sent me a text. He's watching. Shout out to The Pulse. He's got all kinds of great knowledge. Go find him on Twitter.
Yep.
Huge NCAA tournament bracket guy. Has great projections.
Saves me every Sunday.
Every Sunday. And a big shout out to our genius commentary. There's a crew that is together on Twitter. I know that we need to talk football. I'm so sorry, guys.
Yeah, it's okay. You're playing Matthew today.
I know. When we started doing the live stream in 2018, this group was in it every single day. And so they started a thread with each other. Keith and I actually play in a fantasy league with them now.
That's
and they've
so
been here
awesome.
Ever since we started doing the live stream in 2018, the genius commentary. So we shout out to those guys. That's what they call them. That's what the name of our DM group is. So
that's amazing.
Yeah,
I love it.
Genius
I want a shirt.
Commentary.
I want a fun shirt Friday that says genius commentary.
Yeah. Can we establish
do that? We can get that, right?
We'll get something.
We can make that happen. Yeah. I know a
like
guy.
Like since 2018 or one of those. You know?
That's amazing. Hello, friends. Let's talk about the Chargers, and we begin in Los Angeles with their quarterback, Justin Herbert, who, of course, as we know, had 6 minutes of prep time before he became the starting quarterback for the Chargers in week two last year. He, last season, all he did with exactly 6 minutes of lead-up time was go on to throw for a rookie record 31 touchdown passes. He was a top 10 quarterback for 7 straight weeks at one point last season, Stefania. He had 8 games with 300-plus passing yards. He does not need many yards to eclipse Patrick Mahomes in week one of this year for the most passing yards in a quarterback's first 16 starts in NFL history. I mean, that's how great he has been early on, or how great he was last year for the Chargers. And he's a lock-em-in fantasy starter this year again. No concerns.
I mean, I know because I picked him up in our Dynasty League.
It worked out well for you.
Yeah, but I wasn't anticipating that much. Neither was he, apparently. Uh-huh, you know, I wasn't anticipating that much production in his rookie season. And I think everybody worried, as you often do with a rookie, like how he would integrate to the NFL. And he was not as touted as some of the other rookies in the draft class. And so I don't think that, you know, there were some very specific questions about what he would do in big games. And I thought that he certainly answered many of those with that rookie season. I don't know that there's a lot to add here. I, you know, I, like we've seen some of the great things about Justin Herbert. Maybe now he gets to relax a little bit and you know, just evolve in decision making and what have you.
Yeah, but the scary part for defenses is that, so not only did he have basically no lead up time becoming the starter in a game that he played well against the Chiefs, it wasn't perfect, but he gave them all they could handle. The game went to overtime. Is that this year, offensive line has been completely retooled. Yes. Much better offensive line. Let's not forget that Austin Eckler, who we'll talk about shortly, missed a ton of time last year as mm-hmm. well with a hamstring right. issue. So he was playing without his top running back and an awesome pass catcher as well, with a very much patchwork offensive line. And at wide receiver, Stefania, he's got a super-duper star in Keenan Allen, who we'll also discuss, but that group appears deeper on paper this year with the addition of Josh Palmer, amongst others, in the third round this year. This could be even a leap forward for Justin Herbert, which I'm assuming is why Eric Carabell actually has him at quarterback 4, the highest. So Carabell
really?
Is betting on the big jump here. Yeah, he is. So the range, Matthew has him at 10, Carabell, so he's the lowest. Matthew has Carabell's him at 4, he's the highest. I've got him at quarterback 7, so I'm right in the middle of those two players. But to me, if you walk away with Justin Herbert as your starting quarterback, it's a phenomenal value. He is not going to run a ton. He had just 55 carries last year, but certainly enough. He had 5 rushing touchdowns last season, which on 55 carries is a lot of rushing touchdowns. But even if that comes down a little bit, he's still going to get you some yards. He's still going to throw it a ton.
And also, you know, their defense isn't the strongest. So they may be playing in some games where they have to score a lot of points. And
at least in the division with Patrick Mahomes, yeah. right? You're going to have at least 2 games a year. We might have to win it 42-38. Although Brandon Staley, their new head coach, probably is hoping that there's no chance they're losing or winning games with 38 points allowed. So let's talk about Austin Eckler here for a second, Stefania. Any concerns at all coming off of the injury last year? Or is that one of those that, hey, you know, if he had an extra... You know, he was fine by the end of the season, and there's no residual concerns going into this
year.
Yeah,
I think one of the things, so Austin Eckler shares a lot on his Instagram and social media, and he shared quite a bit while he was going through rehab
for
that hamstring injury you mentioned. It was a tough one. This hamstring injuries are not all created equal, both in terms of severity, but also the location of where it is. And it can make it really tough if you have a hamstring injury that's either near where the top of the hamstring attaches or near the bottom, mm-hmm. as opposed to like right in the soft part of the muscle. And so he had a really difficult rehab. And I don't know if people appreciate how hard he had to work to be able to get back. And then he was back. He returned in week 12 and proved that he was basically returned to his former self. So I come into this year feeling much better about him than if, say, he'd had that at the end of the season we really didn't know we were going to get. He only missed 2 games in the first 3 years of his career. And then last year he had that one big injury. So, again, I don't really hold it against him, if you will, as a big concern for injury going forward.
So I'm going to hold the shout out to Austin Eckler in terms of what he's done for the fantasy community in just a second here. Well, let's talk about the upside of Austin Eckler, because it's significant.
Yep.
This team, who did not make a massive commitment to any other running backs this offseason, Kalen Ballage is gone. Larry Roundtree, a prospect out of Missouri, is there, but not like they added somebody that you think is a guarantee to take away a bunch of Austin Eckler's touches. And how about this? Last year, he had 2 games in which he had at least 10 carries and at least 10 receptions. It's the NFL's version of a double-double. The rest of the NFL combined for 1 such game last year. 1.
Wow. Wow.
So the chance every
That's
single
amazing.
Week for him to
That's
hit
amazing.
In a major way is there. He was on the Adam Schefter podcast, and he talked about how in a new system with Joe Lombardi coming from the Saints, he hopes he can be sort of like the Alvin Kamara in Los Angeles.
I was going to make that reference. Yeah.
And if I'm making my list of top pass catching running backs in the NFL, I won't give you the order of the 5. I'd have to think about that a little bit longer. But Austin Eckler is in there.
Absolutely.
He is unbelievable after the catch. He can run every route. A few years ago when they were dealing with injuries
Melvin
at wide
Gordon.
Receiver and Melvin Gordon was still there, they said, hey, you know what? We're just going to literally play Austin Eckler at wide receiver, one of the most unique pass-catching running backs in the NFL. If you're walking away with him as your RB1, you're in good shape. We talk about that big 5/6 maybe a running backs. Austin Eckler in the first round, back into the first round, great value.
Yeah, he's definitely somebody I have targeted if I've been later to get a running back. He's the one I want. In 2019, when Melvin Gordon held out, he really got a chance to shine. He showed that he was this dual threat. The Chargers last year did not pass often on first downs, but when they did, more than a third of the time, it went to a running back.
Yeah, and I think there's a chance that he leads all running backs in receptions this year.
I believe I would not surprise me.
Yeah. He and Christian McCaffrey are probably the two best bets year in and year out to lead the league in that category, along with Alvin Kamara. We love the player. And just shout out to Austin Eckler, because he has embraced fantasy in a major way. He's talked about how the connection he's built with fans and how he understands just how important it is to the visibility of the league at large, how maybe a player like him, a guy from Western State in Colorado, undrafted free agent from a D2 school, maybe his profile isn't the same if we don't have fantasy football, right? He is a guy that many regard as a star, and fantasy has played a role in that regard. We're going to talk about the pass catchers in just a minute. However, first a word from our friends over at Gumout. Fantasy Focus Football is brought to you by Gumout. Today we're talking performance enhancement. Everyone wants it, and some, let's face it, are looking for shortcuts. You can actually get enhanced performance in just 2 minutes twice a year.
Whoa.
With Gumout. Gumout with Carbon Clear's performance enhancement for your car. Carbon Clear is potent. It's the most advanced fuel additive on the market. In fact, cars on Gumout get better engine performance, increased fuel efficiency, and lower emissions. It only takes 2 minutes to pour Gumout into a gas tank, so it's quick and easy to use. With all the things you deal with to get your car running smoothly, it's nice to know Gumout takes no time at all. You probably take much longer deciding who to put in your lineup each week, and it's not hard to find. You can get it at mass retailers or your local auto parts store. So what are you waiting for? Get your car running with Gumout. Now with Carbon Clear. Performance enhancement for your car.
No matter what the sport, professional leagues go through a rigorous process to select the best athletes for their team. I recently called Fields Yates Wesleyan coach and talked about the 5'7" Yates to ask him why he was chosen for the Wesleyan team. Well, what if you had the tools to put together that type of rigorous hiring process? Well, you've got them when you use ZipRecruiter. And right now you can try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/06010. So how does ZipRecruiter scout the best and brightest for your team? Its matching technology scans resumes across its network of millions of job seekers to find qualified candidates for your open roles and proactively presents them to you. Then you can easily review recommended candidates and invite them to your top choices, and invite your top choices to apply for your job, which encourages them to apply faster. And it is no wonder that 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. Right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free. Just go to Just go to this exclusive web address, ZipRecruiter.com/06010. That's ZipRecruiter.com/06010. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire.
Field, I can't believe he went there.
I'm so sorry.
Thing is, when Matthew's really gone, a little part of him rubs off on all of us, right?
A little bit.
And that was Daniel's part.
I actually dusted it off yesterday and threw it over.
You did. Because it's so nice, because we're all still so nice to each other, but just like that little bit of Matthew comes out towards whatever, and it's just like
little pixie dust.
Creates a little bit of it.
That's all.
I love it.
All right, so let's finish up with the pass catchers in Los Angeles. Keenan Allen, man. I remember saying this once this offseason, is that it's hard for a guy who's been to, I think, 4 straight Pro Bowls and who people generally regard as an awesome player to be underrated. But I still kind of wonder if Keenan Allen's underrated.
He is. You know what? It's almost like, and I don't use this word because it doesn't fit him, but it's just like this boring. There's nothing. It doesn't grab you. People don't go, oh, hey, you know, Matthew. Now I'm being Matthew. People don't say, oh, hey, I got Keenan Allen in my draft. But yet, if you get Keenan Allen every year on your team, he pays off for you every single year. This is a guy who was basically cast aside after he initially came into the NFL because he had that injury with his knee. Yep. And people were wondering if he was ever going to rise to what his, what the prospects were. And then once he did, by that second year, he's been as reliable as you can get in a wide receiver.
So I have a couple of theories, and these are not to be unkind. It's just a fact, is that he plays in a team that has not had a ton of success. He plays for a team that has, to put it kindly, right? He plays for a team that has recently moved and is still sort of finding its footing with a fan base. They played their first year in Los Angeles in like a soccer stadium, and they did not have fans last year. Like, Chargers have great fans. San Diego, there were great fans in San Diego, but it's not this robust fan base relative to like the Packers or Devontae Adams, who plays in a tiny market, is so well known because you go anywhere and it's literally it's all Packers, right? So part of the, I think national profile is just sort of part of it, right? And second, it's also just to your point, is that like we just sort of expect it now. Like it's kind of been at this level for a while and it sort of stays at that level for a while. But that level we're referring to over the past 4 years, Stefania, is 104 catches on average, 1,234 receiving yards on average, and 7 touchdowns on average. So he is ranked at wide receiver 8 for me, wide receiver 9 for Daniel, wide receiver 8 for Matthew. I feel comfortable walking away from a draft with Keenan Allen as my number one wide receiver. The only reasons why he's not a little bit higher is that he has had no more than 8 touchdown catches in a season. So he's not yet reached 10 in his career, which certainly could happen, but it hasn't happened up to this point. And this is kind of crazy. He is just the second wide receiver last year since at least 2004 to have over 100 catches in a season with less than 1,000 yards.
I was just going to say, you're not going to get the distance with it. So he's not a speed guy, right, but he's one of the best route runners out there, and he's got terrific hands. So he becomes a trusted wide receiver for a quarterback. And I think you saw that with Phillip Rivers. You see it with Justin Herbert. They're like, I know this guy knows where to be, and I know he's going to catch the ball because he will out-physical you to catch a pass. So he's reliable for a quarterback, and that makes him somebody they want to go to. So I think when you look at volume, that's where it is, but you're not going to get the huge yardage to your point. And I still think Mike Williams is going to be a big guy in the end zone. And I don't know that Keenan Allen's touchdown numbers are necessarily going to rise.
Right. And the past 3 years, his yards per catch has gone down each of them. And maybe that's part of the reason why we don't talk about him as much as some of the others, is that, you know, let's be honest. What is going to make SportsCenter top 10? Like a Keenan Allen 17-yard crossing route or a Tyreek Hill 74-yard fly route that he scores a touchdown on? We know the answer to that, right? But Keenan Allen is sort of the route running king. Mm-hmm. Co-king. He and Devontae Adams.
Oh, Devontae Adams.
Devontae Adams runs some ridiculous routes. There are a lot of great wide receivers. It's part of the reason why we talk about depth and fantasy all the time.
That's true.
You mentioned Mike Williams, Stefania. Contract year for him. Big, huge season ahead. Making over $15 million this year, which huge number for a guy in that fifth-year option. He needs a big year. We've seen it in small doses. We have. We've seen great games from Mike Williams. A couple of years ago, that game late in the season, Thursday night football against the Chiefs, had 2 touchdowns. He's looked like the best player on the field at times. He reminds me a bit of Sammy Watkins. The highs have been supremely high, but the problem has been inconsistency, lack of production, and at times injuries as well. I think the likelihood of me using a late-round lottery ticket on Mike Williams have decreased this year relative to where they were each of the past 2 seasons.
Yeah, I don't know.
Go ahead. I'm agreeing with you, but I want you to go. I'm sorry. It's not my show. It's your thing. But agree with you, Field.
Go ahead.
I'm 100% with you. And the reason why, it says it here on the note, right? When you're looking at Mike Williams, 7 games under 6 fantasy points. When I'm looking at a guy at the back end of the draft, I'm looking for someone that's going to give me those big games. And when I look at Mike Williams' big games, right, if I'm going to take those single-digit games, I'm looking for someone that maybe is going to have a higher ceiling for me than what Mike Williams does. I just don't have a lot of I've never been a Mike Williams fan. This is just
4 straight years of up and down.
What did Mike Williams do to you?
He didn't do anything. But
he's a nice guy.
He's a super nice guy.
He is.
And I think also he's another one who struggled when he came into the league with injury. You may remember he had back issue, mm-hmm. and they were talking about whether he was going to have surgery or not. Ultimately, did. But he had a He had a herniated disc that was causing nerve problems into his leg. So it was reported later they had a hamstring issue, but he actually was having nerve pain that was going down into his leg. So he could never really stretch, never really accelerate. And I think, you know, it's taken a while for him to get the confidence back. And then when we see him, now you see him go up for jump balls in the end zone. He's fantastic. But the consistency hasn't been there in terms of the scoring. Targeted 10th. I think it's 10th among wide receivers, tied for 10th among wide receivers with 12 end zone targets, but not always catching them.
And you can't just count on touchdowns. You need some volume in there as well.
4 straight seasons where he has yet to have 50 catches in a season.
Yep. Need more volume there to be a late round lottery ticket, at least at this stage of your career. I have Jared Cook at tight end 24. Daniel has him at 23. Matthew has him unranked.
Unsurprising.
I'm only going to mention one thing. One thing here on Jared Cook. Well, yes, drops been a problem. And
why does Matthew hate tight ends? That's my question. Why does he have him unranked? I mean,
I'm surprised as a Lions fan that you have him ranked the highest.
I'm going to add one note, though. One note. Jared Cook was named as the sleeper from Austin Eckler on the Adam Schefter podcast.
Schefter's podcast.
He said, hey, Adam asked him if there's a player in the Chargers offense that maybe we're not talking enough about or catching people's eyes, and he said Jared Cook. So if Jared Cook balls out this year, here's the reality. Austin Eckler is the new top-ranked fantasy analyst. So wow. A hot seat. Matthew could be on the hot seat.
I played football with Jared Cook.
I got to ask you, though. Do you buy it? No, he's hard to trust.
Yeah,
I'm
having a hard time trusting him.
Yep. Hard trust is a strong word.
Yeah,
it's hard to trust.
He is. And he has plenty of physical skills. He's incredibly fast. He's this long, sort of gazelle-like tight end, right? But this has been the story of his career. I mean, he was a first-round pick out of South Carolina with the Rams years ago. Ran like a 4.4, 140. Like, he's been tantalizing for years. Might have been the Titans, actually, that drafted him originally. But the point is that he has been tantalizing for years. We've always wanted it to happen, right?
Right.
But he also has played for the Titans and the Rams and the Packers and the Saints and now the Chargers. I might be forgetting a team somewhere along the way as well. There's a reason why you continue to bounce around. Let's wrap up here, Daniel.
Let's do it.
3.5 or so minutes.
Yeah.
Social questions, shall we? Or should we talk to... Oh, you know what? Let's do...
We got some things. This is like a big preseason weekend.
Yeah, a little recap. A little pre-cap.
Pre-cap.
Oh, pre-cap. Pre-cap.
Yeah.
Of the weekend. We've got week three.
What do you want to see?
Yeah, the final preseason week of the... final week of the preseason, I should say. Easier way to put it. And as of right now, we have a sense of how much some players are going to play, and then there are others that we don't quite know. So we'll just sort of ping-pong back and forth. All-Star Stefania here, and I understand that I'm not sure either one of them is a given as a starter in fantasy if he earns the job, but I got to think all eyes are in New England right now, or on New England, because Mac Jones, as we know, had one practice this week where he was the talk of the town, joined practices with the Giants, looked really locked in. Kind of came back down to earth the following day when Cam Newton was back on the field. But Mac Jones has been sharp in two preseason games. If he looks sharp again on Sunday, at the very least, here's what I'll say. Bill Belichick's been super consistent, always will be, and he's always going to do right by it. He's going to treat his players right publicly. He's always done an amazing job at that. Mac Jones can at least give him something to think about for when he might eventually take over a starting quarterback. What else are you watching for this weekend?
For me, it's going to be Joe Burrow taking the field for the first time. We now know that he's going to see some action this weekend, and he's been talking about wanting to get that first hit. We want to see him against a real defense, not just his own defense in Cincinnati. So I want to see how he moves when he's got a real defense coming at him and how confident he is and how quick he is to throw the ball.
Last thing, and it sounds like the 49ers know who's going to be the week one starter, Stefania.
Shanahan you can tell us, says he knows.
Yeah, Kyle Shanahan says he knows. For those that missed Jimmy Garoppolo's answer to the question,
he looked like he knew and he was okay with the answer.
He had a smile that was quite wide. It made me think that he knows he's going to be the week one starter, but it's still worth watching the situation
absolutely.
As well.
Yeah, absolutely. Because even if he is, which is, I've been on record as saying, I think that's going to be the case. Trey Lance is going to play. So you're going to see them both involved in the offense. And I just kind of want to see more of that and see how everybody else looks around them when they're in the game.
I also want to see from Trey Lance, like, I want to see some off-speed pitches this weekend, right? Mm-hmm. That was a thing that we talked about a ton last week.
He was throwing a little heater.
For the record, as long as the checks keep cashing, Jimmy's got a lot to still be smiling about.
People ask, how does Jimmy G look? The answer is always good.
Like, fantastic.
He looks phenomenal.
Yeah.
Because he's a tremendously handsome man.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
But Trey Lance, by the way, is 20 years old.
Yeah.
He's 21 in October. He can't even buy a beer yet. Like, he'll figure it out as a thrower. We just want to see him sort of cool the Jets a little bit in this final preseason game. Just for those that are wondering, when are the games on? 3 tonight, Friday, and then they go all the way until Sunday. I believe there's an 8 p.m. game on Sunday.
Tomorrow, and then I think 2 more on Sunday.
Two or three more on Sunday. So a good weekend on tap. We hope you all enjoy the final week of the preseason. We are back on Monday talking about probably what happened this upcoming weekend and maybe some potential news along the way. Thanks for watching the Fantasy Focus Football Podcast presented by Hotwire. We'll be back on Monday to break everything down. Matthew may be here. We'll find out. If not, Stefania will be holding it down until that time.
Peace out.
Peace out.
Peace out.
Peace out. Peace out. Peace out. Peace out. Peace out. Peace out.
2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.